Welcome to The Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched Astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hello, hello there. Welcome to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And I'm going to be talking to you tonight about the planets. I thought I'd try something a little bit different and take a step back. A lot of people contact me and they ask, what do the planets mean? So I will be talking about the planets tonight. So when you hear the word planets, I think most people probably think of the solar system. And there's lots of mnemonics going around, you know, of how to memorize or remember the order of the planets. And one that I've heard of is, my very eager mother just served us 9 pizzas. So what that stands for is, my for Mercury, very for Venus, E for Earth, M for Mars, and so on. So that's what a mnemonic is. It helps us to remember if we can visualize a story or something that will just help us remember the order of things. And so that's what that is. So the planets, you know, and when I talk about the planets, I'm also talking about the sun and moon. Astrologers classify the sun and moon as planets, even though we know they're not really. The sun is a star and the moon is a satellite to the Earth. So we do include the sun and moon, call them planets. We really know they're not. But just to keep things simple, because astrology can be very, very complex, with quite a few exceptions to the rule, certain rules, but there's always seems to be an exception. So that's why we try and do our best as astrologers to keep things a little bit simple. So there's the planets, including the sun and moon. Planets are Mercury, Venus. You know, we calculate astrology based off our position on the Earth. So I don't always, I usually don't mention the Earth for that reason. The planets in this instance are Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And yes, Pluto is still considered a planet in the astrological world. And that is because Pluto is the most powerful planet that we have. And when Pluto was demoted quite a few years ago by astronomers who were different to astrologers, I knew that was going to lead to some sort of trouble. But it wasn't too bad because they gave it back its status as a planet, which was sort of weird, but whatever. And I was thinking at the time when Pluto did get demoted, this is not a planet you want to mess around with, but I will get into more of that later because I'm getting ahead of myself now. So with the planets, what they do is they travel around the sun, including the Earth. So all the planets that I just mentioned, Mercury through Pluto, including the Earth, travel around the sun, but they go at different speeds around the sun. And the planets that are closest to the sun go faster. And the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, go a lot slower. And I will later on talk about how fast the planets move. I won't get too technical, but I do need to mention a little bit of the technicality of each of the planets and their cycles. So each planet represents something in itself. So you've got the sun, which is a personality, Mercury is communication, Venus is love, and so on. And it's not just the planets moving around the sun and how they influence us, but if you think about it, it's like each of the planets have a certain gravity. On Earth here, we have a gravity, and that's what holds everything down to the Earth. Otherwise, we'd be floating away into space. So the other planets have their gravity as well, and that's what keeps everything in alignment moving around the sun. And then their influence on us as well, because if you think about our solar system, it appears that on Earth, is the only planet that has human life. So what are the other planets doing out there in our solar system? Well, according to astrologers, they're influencing us here on Earth. So if you think about the moon is a satellite to the Earth, and the moon controls the tides on Earth. It controls the water. And so, you know, humans, we're over 80% water. And if you think about it, the moon is connected to our moods and our emotions. So it makes sense that if the moon has that effect on us, then the other planets have the effect on us as well. And each has a meaning. So the thing here is that, astrology is a very complex topic. It's very misunderstood. That's a very good Mercury retrograde word, of course, it's misunderstood, it's complex, it's complicated. Most people think astrology is just their sun sign, but there is just so much more to it. And it's funny because we talk about some people use the word the stars when they're talking about astrology, but it's not about the stars, it's about the planets. So it's about viewing the planets in their orbit around the sun from our perspective here on Earth. So that's basically what it is in a nutshell. And so, I'm going to talk about in tonight's show, I'm going to talk about what each of the planets mean. Now, before I do that, though, I just mentioned Mercury retrograde. Did I say something about there was a Mercury retrograde moment that I had? And, of course, Mercury is not the only planet that turns retrograde. All the planets do, except, of course, the Sun and Moon, which are always the exception to the planetary rule anyway. So all the planets turn retrograde, which surprises people at times when I do mention that. Because what happens is that the planets in their orbit around the sun, they move at varying speeds. So sometimes they're moving really fast, and other times they're moving so slow that they appear to be moving backwards from our perspective here on Earth. So that's what a retrograde planet means, and it's not just Mercury retrograde, that's for sure. And what it means to astrologers when a planet is moving backwards is that the energy of that planet will also be moving backwards. So in other words, Mercury is a planet of communication, but when it's moving backwards, it's miscommunication. That's a simple rule to think about with all the planets there. So the first planet, and of course, again, technically, it's not a planet. I'm going to talk about the sun, because if you think about it, the sun is the center of our solar system. And so it's the center of our universe. It's what sustains us. It's what gives us light, keeps us warm. There's a lot of power to the sun because it's the very core. And so when you think of your sun sign, a sun sign is the core of who we are. It's what we're about. And so the sun in that case rules the sign of Leo, because each of the planets are assigned one or two signs. And so that's how you connect the dots in some ways with the meaning of the planets, the meaning of the signs. There's a formula. There's definitely a formula. And, you know, over the coming weeks, I will talk about different the different parts of astrology and what they mean. So the first up is the sun. So the sun is the center of the orbit of all the planets in our solar system. As I said, it's the center of our universe. And so when you apply it to yourself, it's the center of you. It's like our inner fire. So you think the sun, how hot it is, the core, it gives us vital energy. It represents basically our basic core personality, and that's separate from all the other influences that influence us from the other planets and so on. So the sun, it tells us a lot about who we are. And it's not only our personality, but it's our strengths and challenges and our purpose here on Earth. And that's a lot of meaning and information for one, and I say planet in quotes, to carry. But again, think about the sun. It's like the sun is the biggest thing, as far as we know, in our universe, in our solar system. So that's why the sun burns so brightly and with such strength. So the thing with astrology is that astrologers throughout centuries have said, as above, so below. And so what that means is that with the planets, as above, the influence of the planets, so below. It's us internal connected to the external. It's like we're individuals and we are also connected in many ways, and in particular with astrology, it's like, you know, we're connected to the planetary influences. So you might have heard of that old cliche, and I think like maybe from the 70s, hey baby, what's your sign? So that's probably, you know, a pretty well-known pickup line. And so that refers to your sun sign. And what that means is it's where the sun was in the zodiac at the moment you were born. And even if you think you're not that similar to the description of your sun sign, don't be fooled by that. Because we're a lot more complex than just our sun sign. And that's what I was just saying before. It's like people, you know, astrology is really, really complex. You know, most people think it's a daily horoscope or just their sun sign. But that's not even close to the complexity of what this is. So, you know, and a lot of people, you know, if you think about people in your life, think about the complex people in your life. You know, their chart or the planets at the time they were born, which I refer to as the chart, you know, that represents their personality. Complex charts represent complex people. And so, you know, some people at the time they were born, they might have lots of strong and varied influences, maybe even seemingly contradictory personalities. Because, you know, we're human, we're complex, and not everything's perfect. It's like there's always, not that there's always something, but it's like, you know, a lot of us have contradictory personalities. And then throughout the course of our lives, you know, as we grow into ourselves, if that makes any sense. But, you know, the older we get, the more confident we become, the more wisdom we have through our experience throughout life. And so then we move closer to the true meaning and energy of our sun sign, because that is the core of who we are. And, you know, when you're young, you don't always know who you are or what path you're on or where you're going. But again, as you get older, we come to know ourselves better. So the sun, or your sun sign, embodies who you are, or and who you're striving to be, the lessons you need to learn, and the strengths you already possess to get to where you're going in life. Now, I feel like I'm making it sound so simplistic for such a complex subject. But it's like, you know, and I know some people, they never find their path. But it's like, that's what we're all sort of striving for, is, you know, why are we here and what are we doing here in this lifetime? The sun is very much a big part of that. Of course, all the other planets influence that, but the sun most definitely. And that's the thing about astrology. It's a language of symbolism. So if you see the symbols, meaning, let's start with the signs. Aries is the ram, Taurus is the bull, Gemini is the twins. That really gives you insight into the nature of each of the signs. So, you know, if you, and I'll do another show about the signs, and I have done in the past. So actually, if you want to know more about the signs, go to the OmTimes website, and they've got an archive, and look for the show about the signs. I've done shows over time on different topics, and so, you know, the sun, if you look at the symbols, and it will help understand the characteristics. So with regards to the signs, most definitely, and then with the sun is connected, as I said, I think in the beginning, it's connected to Leo. So each planet has a sign that they look after or that they're connected to. And so on that note, we're going to take a short break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together, we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there. Welcome back to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And I'm talking about the planets and what they mean. So just before the break, I was talking about the sun. Now, the sun is the core of who we are, and it rules the sign of Leo. And so when we talk about the sun's cycles, what we're really talking about is, again, our perspective from here on Earth. The sun doesn't move. It's the Earth that moves around the sun. So how we gauge it is the sun is moving around us, but technically that is definitely not correct. So it's like the Earth moves around the sun, but that would be just too hard to gauge in some ways. So it's easier to say that the sun is moving around us. But, you know, we definitely know as astrologers that is not the case. So, and if, as I said before the break, the sun is the largest feature of our solar system. And actually, it contains, I believe, about 98% of the total mass. And it's obviously the brightest and hottest object. You know, nothing even comes close to that. And the sun, of course, we know is a star. It's just a giant ball of gas. And it's very much, what do we say? It's got a, we calculate an orbit of the sun. And again, we know it doesn't move. It's us moving around it. So basically, the sun is our personality. It's the core of who we are. It's what we sort of grow into. It's the lessons we learn around the sign that we were born in. Oh, and I just want to address cusps as well, which is technically not planets. But, you know, a lot of people are confused about their sign because, you know, they're born at the very end of the sign, the very beginning of the sign. A cusp, they say I was born on a cusp. Okay, that just means that the sun's moving from one sign to the next. And but it's definitely very black and white. It's like you're either one sign or another. You're not really a combination of the two. Now, moving right along, the moon, which I did touch on a little bit at the beginning of the show, but the moon, again, is not a planet, just as the sun is not a planet, but the sun is a star and the moon is a satellite. And the moon is very influential to us. Now, a lot of the planets have their own moons. Some have more than one moon, but on Earth we have one moon, which is one satellite. And so, you know, and if you think about like the seasons and the tides and our emotions, because the moon rules our emotions ebb and flow in cycles. So the moon, as I said, pulls the tides, and it's also connected to our subconscious mind. Very subtle, and if you think about the tides flowing in and out, that's a little bit like our subconscious mind flowing in and out, our moods. You know, the moon is connected to the sign of Cancer. The sun and moon just are connected to one sign each. As I said, some of the other planets have two signs that they govern. But the moon is all about cycles. And the reason for that is because the moon moves faster than any other planet. So the moon, it has a cycle of 28 days. It's connected to the women's cycles and monthly phases. And as I said, it's all about our feelings, our subconscious mind, our emotions. And so if you know the time you were born, you can find out what sign your moon is in. Of course, you can find out without a time, but it is most, because the moon moves so fast, it's really important to have an accurate birth time to know exactly where your moon was, where the moon was at the time of your birth. So the moon is very important in a natal chart. And I guess compatibility, again, with accurate birth times, but we use it in different ways as an astrologer, I use it in very different ways. Natal chart compatibility. I use the moon a lot when I'm, electing or, finding a good time to do something. So over the years, I've set many, many wedding days and times. And of course, the moon would be crucial in that because the moon is all about emotions. So, you know, of course, for weddings, most definitely, you want the moon to be doing something very favorable, that's for sure. The moon is also represented by the mother. The moon is very soft, sensitive, it's receptive. It's connected to how you nurture and how you need to be nurtured. So it's also connected to food, family, protection, caretaking, our daily routines. And it's also connected to, you know, when we're feeling upset, nervous, calm, contented. It's all about where is the moon in the sky at that time and how does it connect to the other planets in our chart. So, as I said, the moon is connected to the sign of Cancer. And so the moon cycle, so the moon really is only second to the sun in terms of brightness of all the celestial bodies we see here on Earth. And so, you know, the moon, I guess one way to say it is the moon, the monthly moon cycle has been imprinted on the human consciousness since the very beginning of time, because one of the very earliest forms of astrology has been found with the moon phases. So the moon phases are very important, and I will go through those in more detail in next week's show. So it's going to be, now I'm talking about the moon. Next week I will talk about the moon cycles. I think I might also talk about the asteroids, which are technically not planets, but they're physical bodies between Mars and Jupiter. And I use them a lot in, I think, nearly all of my readings. So the moon is big and bright. It has phases. It's connected to our emotions. It pulls on our oceans. The ebb and flow represents, you know, the emotional ups and downs. And it moves really fast, you know, like in its cycle, it only takes 2.5 days to move through each sign of the zodiac. Whereas, you know, just to give you an example, Pluto, our outermost planet, can stay in a sign for over 20 years. So there's a huge, huge difference between our faster-moving planets, including the moon, to the outer planets. So the moon phases, as I mentioned, I think I will go into that in a lot more detail next week. But basically, you know, we've got the moon cycle, you know, they say about 28, 29 days, and it goes from the new moon, which is completely black in the sky, all the way through, you know, first quarter, full moon, last quarter, and then you've got the balsamic phase. We've got four major moon phases, and technically we have eight. And again, I will cover those in great detail next week. So moving right along, the next planet, which I'm sure you've all heard about, is Mercury. And Mercury has a reputation because of the retrograde. And if you remember before in the show, I said all the planets slow down where they appear to be moving backwards. Technically, they do not. But the energy of the planet when it's moving slow around the sun is representative of the energy of the planet moving backwards. So Mercury is the planet closest to the sun, and it's all about communication. It's all about how we think, how we speak, how we communicate. If you think about the people in your life, some are very articulate and eloquent and it just flows, and others, it's just sort of, as I'm talking now, it's sort of like I feel like I can't even get the words out. But it's like, find it very hard to communicate in a verbal way. You know, a lot of other people, they might communicate in a creative way or a spiritual way or an intellectual way. You know, it's all different. So Mercury retrograde, of course, has a deserved reputation where communication gets difficult, misunderstandings are often the result. Of course, you should never travel on a Mercury retrograde, they say, but nowadays that's nearly impossible. And they used to say way, way back that if you sent a letter by snail mail, it would get lost. There's a lot of letters previously being sent in the mail on a Mercury retrograde. It's just don't take the chance is really what they mean by that. Mercury is connected to the signs of Gemini and Virgo. Now, these two signs are very different. Gemini is an air sign, Virgo is an earth sign, and they are both ruled by Mercury. So it's very much of the mind. Now, the Mercury cycle, Mercury was long considered the messenger of the gods because it's the closest planet to the sun. And its cycle, compared to our 365 days in a year, Mercury has 88 days in a year. And from our perspective here on Earth, Mercury is never more than 28 degrees away from the sun. So what that means is that your Mercury sign will usually be the same sign as your sun or the sign before or the sign after. It can never move further away than that. And of course, just about the retrograde, Mercury retrograde three times a year, and it's usually about 3 weeks each time. And you know what it is, it's reminding us to slow down and be more cautious. Otherwise, if we don't do it by choice, sometimes these things are forced upon us. So I've covered Mercury retrograde, the dreaded Mercury retrograde. The next planet we have is Venus. Now, Venus is, along with Jupiter, the two most favoured planets. They're the planets that bring us the most fortunate things, I guess, is one way to say it. So Venus, anytime I do, I'm looking at a compatibility chart, I always look to the Venus. I always need to see where Venus is because it's about love. You know, in compatibility, it's all about love. Or even in the workplace or family, it typically means love and romance. But if your Venus is connected in a very nice way to someone else's Venus or other planets, it means that there's... it's a favorable influence because it means that somebody likes you. So if, even in friendships are about Venus as well, because Venus is the planet of how we socialize. It's affection, it's romantic, it's about pleasure, bringing people together, being harmonious. It's not just about love and dating, but friendships, business partnerships, and any sort of social gathering. It's also the planet of finances. So it's your attitude towards money, spending and saving money. And it's about how you approach any kind of partnership. Would be what sign your Venus is in. And if you don't know where your planets are, I suggest that you go to my website and get a free chart wheel, which will tell you where all your planets are. And that website is theastrologer.com. And then from there, you will see where to get a chart wheel. So with Venus, it's about how you approach any kind of relationship. And it's like, are you comfortable with intimacy or you don't want to get close and dependent? Do you like to be joined at the hip? Do you need your freedom? So that'll all depend where what sign your Venus is in. Again, it's about money as well. So it'll show if you're good with money, cautious, conservative, only taking calculated risks. It will show if you tend to be more indulgent, less prudent, spend too much, all that sort of thing. And Venus is connected to the signs of Taurus and Libra. So they're very different signs. Taurus is an earth sign, Libra is an air sign. But if you are fortunate enough to have a Taurus or a Libra in your life, you will know that there is some sort of connection there, and that is due to Venus. Now, Venus is the second closest planet to the Sun. Its orbit is 225 days, and it's never more than 48 degrees away from the Sun. So, again, it's going to be in the same sign as your Sun, or the sign before or after. And moving right along, before I move on to Mars, we have, just want to talk about Venus retrograde. So, as I said, all the planets turn retrograde. Venus is the planet that turns retrograde the least often. So, when somebody has a Venus retrograde in their chart, it's a little bit unusual. And it will mean that because retrogrades, it's not just about the energy of the planet going backwards in the sign that it's in, but it's also about karma. So what that means is when I'm doing readings and I'm also looking at the retrograde planets, which typically, from an astrologer's point of view, is a retrograde planet is about the lessons we need to learn this lifetime. So if you believe in past lives, it's about the things that we hadn't learnt from our past lives, we have to bring into this lifetime and try and understand the lessons that the planet in the sign is bringing us. So what that means is it's like if there's a retrograde planet, we have to work through the issues before we can move forward. So anybody that's born with a Venus retrograde, it's unusual, and it's something about relationships and money in this person's life, and it will all depend on the sign that that Venus is in. Now, I don't know if you remember that I say a lot of times on many of the shows that the planets have their favourite signs and their least favourite signs. So Venus, as I said, is connected to Taurus and Libra. So if you have your Venus in Taurus or Libra and it's retrograde, it doesn't seem to be as bad. Now, Venus, here's our break music. So stay tuned and I will talk more about the planets very soon.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, and tonight I'm talking about the planets and what they mean, because that's really the key to astrology is the planets and how they affect us here on Earth. Before the break, I was talking about Venus retrograde, and it's our next door neighbour here in the solar system, and it goes retrograde the least amount of time out of all the planets. So it's only about once every 18 months, but it is for 6 weeks at a time. So it's not very much. That amounts to about 7% of the time that it is retrograde. If you compare that to Pluto, which is retrograde about 44% of the time. So Venus retrograde can be quite unusual. And so when it does go retrograde, or if you were born with a Venus retrograde, there's no surprise there that relationship issues come right to the surface. And it's interesting, you know, I said before in the show that I've picked many wedding dates and, of course, would never pick one on a Venus retrograde. But I can't tell you how many people I've heard of that get married when Venus is retrograde. And I know not everybody knows astrology. I get that. But it's actually quite surprising. And that's what years and years ago when I came to realize that, you know, Venus retrograde means of the past. So if you or, you know, someone gets married on a Venus retrograde, it's like there are things that they're probably married in a previous life. They bring the issues together again this lifetime. Usually we work things out. We have to work things out ourselves as individuals. But getting married on a Venus retrograde, there's definitely something to that. So when Venus is retrograde, they say, you know, don't get into a relationship. It won't last, that type of thing. And then it doesn't go, as I just said, it doesn't go retrograde very often. Oh, another thing about not doing anything when Venus retrograde is do not invest money or do not make major financial decisions when Venus is retrograde. And especially don't buy luxury items. They'll probably be overpriced. Okay, moving right along to Mars. So the Earth sits between Venus and Mars, and Mars is known as the red planet. Mars, and of course red being the colour of passion. So Mars is about our sex drive, our propensity for irritation, our urge to compete and succeed. This is all in Mars's domain. It's also about team sports, dating, you know, even how you argue with a friend or go after a promotion at work. It's about our willpower, our motivation, our action. It's like how we take action. Yes, and definitely our ambitions. Other planetary influences are also about ambitions, but Mars is really a big part of that. The Mars influence in our life affects us on a day-to-day basis. It's about the energy that we have and that we use. You know, some people like to conserve their energy, while others are really motivated, just constantly on the move, always up and running to the next thing. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like you think about those people. They've got so much energy. I always think, wouldn't it just be fascinating to know where their Mars is? They're always on the go. So with Mars, it's also about leadership. Also, there are other planets that involve leadership as well, namely the Sun is one of them. And it's like, you know, do you like to take charge? Do you prefer following someone else? You could look to your Mars sign for that. And Mars rules the passionate signs of Aries and Scorpio. Again, two very different signs, but both they're connected by Mars. And then the Mars cycle, as I said, it's our neighbour, our closest neighbour, but our outer neighbour. So Mars spends about 4 to 6 weeks in any sign, but when it retrogrades, like it's going to be doing this year, it will be in Aquarius for about 6 months, which is a really long time for a Mars cycle. And when Mars is retrograde, as I just said, it will be this year, it's about being passive aggressive, or it's actually internalizing our anger. So Mars can be about, you know, flared tempers, sometimes being very aggressive. So Mars in mythology was known as the god of war, which is very fitting. And it's also about, basically it's about movement and action. It returns to the natal position about every 2 years in the chart, and that's known as a Mars return. So what that means is that when we have a Mars return, we've got a lot of energy at that time. So that's Mars. And again, it's one of the planets I look to when I'm doing a compatibility reading, because Mars is about passion. So with compatibility, Venus and Mars are very important planets, and they do need to connect when it comes to compatibility. Mars retrograde, I think I just mentioned, but can brings up anger and temper issues, and as I said, can be turned inward. So be very careful over the summer when Mars will be retrograde, turns retrograde on June 26th. Next up, we have Jupiter. Oh, and actually, between Mars and Jupiter, there's the asteroid belt. And I mentioned that I will be talking about the asteroids in another show. So Jupiter is referred to as a planet of luck because it does bring opportunities and advantages. And Jupiter is the planet, as I said, of luck and good fortune. And I see it every time I do a reading, I see where somebody's Jupiter is, and I can tell, like what sort of, I don't know if luck is the right word, but I can tell what sort of opportunities come into someone's life by their Jupiter sign and how strongly it's placed or not. But this planet's also about learning, intellectual pursuits, spirituality, travel, of course. Jupiter's known as that. It's the planet of optimism. It rules the sign of Sagittarius. And it's about higher levels of understanding. So it's about philosophy as well. So Jupiter is known as the philosopher, or the planet of philosophy, and it's looking at life from a higher or broader point of view. So if you know any Sagittarians, that you'll know that they can be, yes, they're adventurers, explorers, but they're also philosophers. It's incredible how Sagittarians, you know, ruled by Jupiter, can see things from a different perspective. And as I said, it's about higher learning as well. But on the flip side, Jupiter is also about excess. So if you have, not in your natal chart, but if you have a Jupiter square or opposition, you'll find that it's a time of excess. So it's sort of like, you know, party now, pay later type of thing. And then Jupiter, as I said, rules the sign of Sagittarius, but it also rules Pisces. The ruler of Pisces actually is Neptune, and the co-ruler is Jupiter. Now, the reason that the planets have two signs is because before our modern-day technology, we didn't know about the three outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. So what that meant was that Saturn was the outermost planet. So the signs had to be associated to the planets or with the planets, and so that's why Sag and Pisces are assigned to Jupiter, which is interesting because their connection, not only are they both mutable signs, but Sag and Pisces, that connection is about spirituality. It's about the broader perspective, looking at things from a higher point of view. And spirituality comes into it because Sagittarius is the philosopher and Pisces is a sign of spirituality, and knowing that there's a lot more to life than the mundane. So there is a connection there. They're both mutual signs. And if you're fortunate enough to have a Sag or a Pisces in your life, you will know that they are definitely, should I say big thinkers? I can't really think of the word. Big thinkers, especially with Sag, you know, explorer, traveler. looking at life from a higher point of view. Now, Jupiter is a gas giant, not confirmed, but it has a small core of rocky materials and lots of moons and rings. So a day on Jupiter lasts less than 10 hours. So considering how big it is, because it is the biggest planet, not counting the sun, it's the biggest planet. So it's amazing how fast it can spin if its day is less than 10 hours. It has 16 moons, and which were first seen by Galileo in 1610. Jupiter is the brightest planet on average, although Venus is very close to that as well. So, you know, its retrograde cycle is about 30% of the year, and it's about 3.5 months. So, and during a Jupiter retrograde, you may notice that there might be a tightening of purse strings, or people are not as generous as usual. It's actually a good time to go on a diet because it's like we're contracting rather than expanding with Jupiter. So Jupiter takes 12 years to orbit the sun, which means it goes through each sign of the zodiac. It will take 1 year per sign. So what else about Jupiter? I think that's about it. I said it's pretty big. It's a retrograde about a third of the time. And yeah, Jupiter's just basically known as the planet of luck, good luck and fortune. So Jupiter rules expansion and exaggeration, of course, exaggeration being the negative, because all the planets that just have all positive attributes, there are negative ones or shadow sides as well. Next planet is Saturn. Saturn really, it has a bad reputation for a good reason. It's the taskmaster planet because it's stern. It inspires guilt, whereas, you know, Venus and Jupiter make life easier and more fun and flowing. Jupiter keeps you in check. It reminds you that all play and no work would leave you both homeless and penniless. Jupiter is the authoritarian, and it makes you work hard. But the thing is, hard work, the harder you work, the bigger the reward. Jupiter teaches us patience and perseverance. And it's a bit like a parental figure that can be too severe sometimes, depending on the aspect. It's about responsibility, discipline, obligation. It can be about disapproval as well, until you return back to do the right thing, you know, pay attention to the duties that you've got. It can feel restrictive, and we might want to rebel against its influence, but that's not going to be a good thing. There's no shortcuts with Saturn. It's the planet of karma. And so what that means is it's like we're here to learn the lessons of whatever sign Saturn is in, was in at the time you were born. So it's basically work hard. I always say roll your sleeves up and get down to some hard work. Buckle down and get to work. And Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius. And again, the main ruler of Aquarius is Uranus, and Saturn is now the sub-ruler. But so Saturn rules Capricorn. And Saturn, you know, you might have heard of the Saturn return. It's very well known in astrology. When somebody turns 29, approximately, they officially become an adult, according to astrology, because they've lived through Saturn going through all the 12 signs of the zodiac. And so there's usually a major event at the Saturn return. Next up, we've got the outer planets, Uranus. Uranus is a planet that's often associated with rebellions and revolutions and earthquakes and volcanoes. It's something that comes about with unpredictability, and it changes life, and it's very disruptive. But it's also on the positive, it rules original thought, unique inventions, improvements on tradition. It's basically about thinking outside the box. It's connected to technology as well. And then, you know, Uranus on a more personal basis is our sense of freedom and restriction. But it all depends on where Uranus sits in what house and what sign. Typically stays in a sign for 7 years. And it's all about shaking up the status quo. And it's always through something dramatic, sometimes upsetting. It just depends. But it is definitely freedom seeking. And as I said just before, it is connected, or the ruler of Aquarius. It was first discovered in 1781. Next up, we have Neptune. And Neptune is often called the planet of illusion because it rules all things illusionary. So the intangible, the ethereal, the abstract, the elusive, dreams, fantasy, spirituality, idealism. It's things that are, as I said, intangible. It's like you can't touch and feel them. And then we also have Pluto after that. And as I said before, Pluto is the most powerful planet of the zodiac, and astrologers still think it's the planet. So that's it. Oh, and Pluto's all about change and transformation. That's it from me. Thank you for joining me. This is The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, wishing you a great week.